going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
We have Sue's News on a Thursday coming up here in the 4 o'clock hour. Don't forget, tomorrow we have a jam-packed show with the Reardon Roundtable kicking things off in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll have Jane on the panel, State Rep Steve Butts, and the mayor of Eureka, Sean Flower. We haven't seen him in a while. He was at one of the fish fries, I think. We haven't seen Sean, though, in maybe a couple of months. Paul Hall with some entertainment recommendations, as we always do in the 4 o'clock hour. Cusimano with some thoughts on the Blues victory from tonight. See how confident I'm being. We got Paul Morrow. I have to talk Gilgo serial killer, and Karen Reed with Paul tomorrow because I'm into all this true crime stuff. And then Tim Summer. We have Rock and Roll Hall of Fame decisions that will be made this weekend about this class. And Tim, we always love talking music with him, Sue. So he's coming up tomorrow. We were having him, he was supposed to be on the show last Friday, but had to cancel, which was certainly understandable. We had a family thing that came up. So I'm going to read something here, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's very lengthy, but I do this maybe not every year, but most years I share this, and today is Holocaust Remembrance Day, and I really wanted to share this in particular because of the ridiculous op-ed from a couple of days ago that Larry David put in the New York Times, where he wrote about his dinner with the Führer as if he was Bill Maher going down to Mar-a-Lago, and he made all these Hitler references, etc. And, you know, Larry David is a guy, he's pretty funny usually, it wasn't funny, but you would think he would be smart enough to understand in any of these lefties. I mean, it's one thing that you criticize this president, I get it, I get criticizing his behavior, I used to criticize his behavior a lot more, but the whole Nazi fascist allegation is just utterly ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
And I'm going to explain why. Because this is heartbreaking, what I'm about to share with you. This was a speech that was given in Kansas City in 1978, on April 16th of 1978. And there's an interesting day that I will mention in here, where the anniversary will be this Sunday as well. But Milton Rydell is his name. He's the father-in-law of a friend of mine, Steve Weinstein. And Steve shared this with me, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years ago, and it's always stuck with me, and it's an incredible speech. And he starts by saying, I've been asked as a survivor of the Nazi Holocaust to relate to you some of the events experienced by me during the catastrophe which befell the Jews during the years of Nazi tyranny. My story is typical of those of any survivor. Only the names of the cities, towns, or the concentration camps may differ, but our degradations, horrors, and losses are the same. So he talks about, you know, living in Poland, in Benin, Poland, in August of 1939, 60,000 people there, 50,000 people were Jews. And Milton was 26 years old at the time. He's basically one of my kids' age. A tailor. He was operating his own business. He lived at home with his parents, two teenage sisters, and one teenage brother. He said his older sister and brother were married and had families of their own. In September of 1939, the first day of September, Benin was invaded by the German army, followed by the SS commandos who took over complete control of our city. They came armed, throwing smoke and firebombs, killing Jews in the streets, in the homes. They robbed, they looted. There was chaos in Benin. Following the rampage of the city, civil administration was introduced, and with it, a form of law and order. Not law and order as you and I know here, but law and order for the methodical and systemic destruction of the Jewish community. Curfews were imposed. Laws restricting economic, cultural, and social rights were imposed. Attendance in synagogues and schools were forbidden. We were deprived of the right to walk on the sidewalks and the use of public transportation any violation meant instant death. Orders were posted that everyone had to register with the police. We know this from history, right? Your papers were stamped with a J for Jew. They were ordered to wear armbands with the Star of David, which the Germans called Scheinbann, the Band of Shame. We were stripped of all human rights. There were no laws to protect us. Jews were punished on the slightest pretext. Murder and suicide was a daily occurrence. Progressively, all of our possessions were taken from us. But worse of all, with each passing day, more and more of our people were taken from us. Those who could not work were considered parasites, and they were systematically eliminated, namely the crippled, the ill, the aged, and the orphans. All able bodies were registered, and they were forced to work for the German economy. I mean, I'm going to go on here, ladies and gentlemen, but if you can't tell the difference between what this president is doing and some allegation that he's Adolf Hitler compared to what happened in 1939 all the way through 1945 in Europe, then you don't have a brain, I don't think. Milton writes, food became scarce. People bartered their possessions in order to exist. I was sent to work without pay in a factory making SS uniforms. After long hours, I came home and I worked into the late hours of the night making clothes, which I...
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
Used to barter for food and necessities. In August of 1942, all the remaining Jews of Benin were ordered to come to the soccer field with all the members of their families to register again. People were pushing to get in line, thinking that if they were early registrants, that they would be able to return to their homes sooner. How well I recall, he wrote, one man yelling out to them, stop pushing. The Germans are not serving food. This is not a picnic. This is a tragedy. Before long, we realized what was happening. Unaware of their imminent doom, the families presented themselves. They were being segregated. The older Jews were being segregated from their healthy children who were capable of working. For us, Milton Rydell wrote, this was a tragic day. Our parents were taken from us. We learned that they were sent to Auschwitz. Those who were not sent away were told to return to their homes and continue to work at their assigned jobs. In October, orders were posted that all of the remaining Jews must leave their homes, and they were sent to the outskirts of the city. And I'm going to skip around here a little bit for time purposes, but he talks about how that became the Benin Ghetto. We were not allowed to leave the ghetto except to be transported under guard and to and from our places of work in the city. Anyone who violated the restrictions was liquidated. We worked, we slept. We lived like animals with barely enough food to exist. The Nazi tactics were to use starvation and disease as a means of breakdown of physical strength, personal dignity, and the spirit of the Jews. So he goes on and he talks about, you know, more and more people were being sent from the ghetto. And at one point, and this is probably the hardest part to read, when orders came that the ghetto must be liquidated, my brother, sisters, and I, along with some of the others who lived in our house, hid in the bunker. The Nazis were searching all of the houses, looking for hidden Jews. We could hear them yelling, Jews come out, everyone out, the ghetto must be Judenrein, cleared of Jews. It was just at this moment when the infant child of a couple who were hiding with us started to cry. The child's father, knowing that his life and the lives of all of us in the bunker were at stake, put a pillow over his child's face and smothered his own child to death. That's what they were dealing with, okay, in 1939, 40, 41, 42, 43, and 44. That's what the Jews were dealing with the real Adolf Hitler, not Donald J. Trump. So he goes into some of the history. The Russian armies were invading Poland. The Nazis began liquidating the camps near the borders. All of us left at Annenberg were forced to walk a day and a night hungry and cold in the middle of the winter to a railroad siding where we were herded onto trains going east. The trip took 12 hours. Finally, we arrived at a concentration camp, Gross Rosen, which is in Poland. The cold here was unbearable. We were given clothes without buttons, wooden shoes that were unable to keep on our feet. We were pushed into basements. I mean, this is horrifying. Horrifying. Every morning, he says, we had to remove the dead. Food, when available, was given to us in the middle of the night. One day during our stay, I learned that my older brother was also there. I was able to contact him, and we arranged to meet secretly. I did not recognize him. Milton says, when the war ended, I learned that my brother, too, had been transferred to Buchenwald, where he died a few days after being liberated. Again, the camps are being liquidated. This time, we're herded into open cattle trains, packed in like sardines, holding each other up with our bodies. No food, no water, no nothing. The stench as we traveled into Germany was like that for days. Many froze to death or died from starvation. We were brought to Camp Buchenwald. When we arrived there, we were told that the only way we would leave was through the chimneys. The ovens at Buchenwald were going full blast. Conditions here were such that if you were found to be sick, you were thrown out of the barracks and left to die. Every morning, special commandos removed bodies to the ovens. Our death at Buchenwald was not to be. After 4 weeks, we were again put on trains going west. And this goes on and on and on, right? For someone to survive this and to still, you know, have a life where he had kids and grandkids, it's just unbelievable.
It is. It is.
On the morning of April 28th, 1945, that's this weekend, that anniversary, right? We discovered that we had been abandoned by our guards. They had disappeared into the night. Later that day, we were surrounded by the American Army units, and we were informed that we were free of our oppressor. Yes, we were liberated. After 4.5 years, we were free of our oppressor. But there was no one to welcome our freedom, no one to shed tears of joy for us. We had no home or family to return to. We were homeless, uprooted, splinters of a family, robbed of all material goods, undernourished, undermined in health, haunted by nightmares of horrors witnessed or experienced. I mean, 6 million Jews, 5 million non-Jews were taken off the planet, slaughtered, burned in ovens, removed to make any illusion, any at all, that what we experience ever is similar to that is inappropriate,
yes,
embarrassing, wrong, and you should be ashamed of yourself. But they keep doing it on the left, don't they?
Get more at 971talk.com.